When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello there, and welcome to the latest Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. I'm Joe Rimmer. Joining me on this very special podcast, it's the best podcast, it's the world's greatest podcast to go with the world's greatest cup competition, is Paul Gost. How are we, Paul?
All good, yeah. Set for a busy weekend in the capital. Yeah, but This is what it's all about, isn't it? The Carabao Cup final.
Carabao Cup final. You're excited. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Is Ian Doyle excited?
I've got to drive you there, so no. Not
to
really.
Drive us there?
Yeah, do you have to, yeah.
Do we? Are we not going to split the driving?
We're probably on the way back.
On the way back.
You know, I think we'll be there. Yeah.
It made it sound like we don't drive there.
Yeah.
Like to assume command of the long hauls.
That's fair enough.
If it's Wolves or Villa, Ghost is the man. If it's a bit further than that, we tend to, me or we do split it now and again.
Oh, very nice. Very nice for our podcast listeners. Before we continue, Steve Killen stepped in late last week for me
did.
On the pod.
We did very well, actually.
I had a coughing fit before the pod and had to pull out in the warm-up. Very, very,
very Thiago-esque.
Yeah, Thiago-esque in the
just couldn't get him through it.
Yeah. But Steve was boasting about how he'd won over all these Australian listeners. I was a bit upset, really, because I like Australia a lot, so I'm going to say hello to all the Australian listeners now so they don't think that Steve Killen's better than me. I don't want them thinking that. So hello, Australian listeners. Good day. If you're in Melbourne... Good day. Good day. I'm saying it in my English accent. Melbourne, if you're in Melbourne, if you're in Sydney, if you're in Adelaide, maybe you're in Perth, maybe you're in Brisbane, maybe you're in Cairns, maybe you're in...
And there's something else going on in Australia this
Darwin,
weekend.
You forgot Darwin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, WWE event. Yeah, it's all that.
Just throwing that in. Darwin. Yeah, I like Darwin a lot. Yeah, it's a great place.
Directly a play.
Yeah.
So there you go. So, hello. Don't think Steve Kellen's better than me. I care about you more than Steve does. Don't want that.
Can we just get on with this?
Yeah, hello to all our listeners. I've got lots to say. We are watching this live. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. I'm keeping an eye on YouTube. So if you've got a question, comment, an observation,
speaking of that,
send it in. Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm letting it know to Twitter that we're on. Not being rude.
If you're watching on Facebook, our producer Ian will send me the questions, and we will put them to our panel as we go. So very excited. Injuries. I feel like every podcast we talk injuries, but it feels like we've got a lot to get through today. I've got a big long list of things on the pod, but it feels like the natural place to start. Gorsi, you're at the press conference. You were both at the press conference earlier, Pep Linders. And he gave various updates, didn't he? I mean, where do we start?
He tried his absolute best to get away from it, didn't he? The first question is, you know, how do you want to do it? Do you want to talk us through the litany of injury issues? And he tried to run away from it. He was talking about how it offers opportunities to younger players to be involved, and that's all very true and nice. You know, Conor Bradley wouldn't have had the opportunities he's had in recent weeks had it not been for Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I'm sure you can go throughout the team, can't you? Harvey Elliott, for example, on the right wing on Wednesday night. But eventually he conceded that Dominic Szoboszlai, Darwin Nunez and Mohamed Salah were all touch and go. Day by day was the phrase that Jurgen Klopp used on Tuesday, and just a continuation of that. And I think there's been a little bit of good news just before we come on, hasn't there? You know,
yeah, we saw
Nunez and Salah were spotted in training
gear,
regalia. They might be involved in training today. So Szoboszlai wasn't pictured, so that might be a bit too soon for him. But it'd be a huge boost for Liverpool if Salah and or Nunez are fit, because I've kind of written it off that they weren't. And Liverpool's chances of success go up considerably if they got two of the main men fit. We know Jota's sidelined for it, and that's a massive blow. But I think having Salah in particular, but obviously Nunez as well, terrorised Chelsea, didn't he, a few weeks ago? So having both of them in will be huge. But we know that Alisson's not there, Trent, Szoboszlai, Curtis Jones, Joel Matip, of course, long-term absentee, season's over, Liverpool career might be over. But I just think Liverpool need a little bit of good news on the injury front, and hopefully by the time we come out of this, podcast, there will be some more good news on that front.
Really quickly, before we move on, we'll discuss that further. Paul has asked, is there any updates? Because we haven't heard it for a while on Stefan Bosicic. Gone very quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's been that many to run through that it's difficult to ask about everyone, isn't it? I mean, people always ask, you know, if you asked about someone and I asked about someone, someone had asked, well, why aren't you asking about the player C? Yeah. You know, there are only so many questions that you get in a press conference and whatever else, and with the greatest of respect to someone who hasn't played for a year, really, he's not at the forefront, is he, of the thinking? But
especially when you're thinking about the next game, aren't you?
Yeah.
Even if he's coming back, he wouldn't be for Chelsea, would it?
Yeah, I mean, if you are taking a longer-term view, you're probably asking about Thiago more than Bosicic. But yeah, it's been a disappointing 12 months for him, hasn't it, after he initially burst onto the scene in the kind of middle part of last season. Still got a bright future at the club, but it's been a really disappointing year for him on the injury front.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough for him. Just very quickly on Bosicic, coming back, isn't it? Because he's basically written a year off of his career, and he'll come back to a whole new setup, new manager, everything.
Well, it might be a Spanish manager, mightn't it? Which might suit him down to the ground. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But in terms of his injury, it's very much Kay Gordon-esque, isn't it?
Yeah.
Growth related. I think it was Curtis had it as well, didn't he? Not this particular one, but he's had problems. And
Steven Gerrard had it, didn't
he? I'm going to say this has always been the case. Players like, you know, Mike Owen, he ended up doing his hamstring, didn't he? And never quite the same player after that. Was it Leeds or Leeds, seems to think? So there's always been that Rob Jones shin splints going all the way back to the start of the Premier League. So,
yeah. Do I hear about shin splints more too anymore, do you?
I think it's called something else now. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's what Curtis had. I'm sure he had. No, it's not. It wasn't. Ignore me. Which you tend to do anyway. Certainly the listeners do.
Well, I was going to ask you, all these injuries, considering the way Liverpool have played throughout the season, really, with all the injuries they dealt with, do they change a great deal for the game, for Liverpool going in, for the mindset?
Well, it depends which player it is that's out. I know that sounds a very flippant thing to say, but it's true. For example, the goalkeeper, you know, they'll have to change the way that they play to a certain degree, because Alisson's not playing. If you've not got Van Dijk playing, you have to tweak it again. There are certain players who are that important to the team that you do have to change things around a little bit. For example, that is Salah. With him playing, they play a slightly different way because it gets more out of him, and why wouldn't you? Because he's your best player. But if he's not playing, then you're going to be playing, whether it's Jota on the right or, as was on Wednesday, Harvey Elliott. They don't play the same way. Liverpool don't play the same way. Trent, they don't play the inverted fullback, really, without him. So, in answer to your question, it does, but the funny thing is, with them having so many players unavailable, Linda's mentioned this. He said something along the lines of, we've had to, you know, come up with three or four different teams this season, which you'd normally only have to do that over a number of years, let alone just in one campaign. So I think that so many are out, it's allowed Liverpool just to go, right, okay, everybody's out, let's just do this, and everybody's on board with it straight away, as opposed to just a minor tweak. So changing it totally, to a certain degree, is helping them. Exactly. Although you would rather have all of the players fit, because you've got a better chance if you've got your better players available.
It's almost like that United used to talk about it in the 90s, that's all, everyone against us, the world against us mentality. It's like that with injuries this season with Liverpool. It's almost like, and I felt like that in the second half of the Luton game, like they've got things to prove, and it whips and fosters a spirit that's doing well for them this year.
100%, I mean, this sort of injury crisis isn't something that's crept up on Liverpool, is it? It's been building for 3 months, really. I go back to the City game after the international break, the November international break, and Alisson got injured, and then Jota got injured. And since then, you know, go through the games and players have come off injured. McAllister, Sheffield United, Gravenberch against Manchester United. Robertson was obviously a few weeks prior to that. Simicast against Arsenal. Just right throughout the team, players have been injured, come back, maybe one or two have got injured again. So it's never really died down. And Klopp got asked that one time, didn't he, about it being the luxury prospect of picking a full-strength squad. I think it was Arsenal, the Premier League game, was it? And lo and behold, Thiago gets injured and Trent goes off. And
who asked that?
It was me. I can't remember who it was.
I thought they lost that game as well. So.
But it's just something that Liverpool haven't had. Is it, you know, a full complement to choose from all season? And now it's starting to bite a little bit more than it has done in recent weeks and months. But I think a lot of that is because Liverpool have kind of refused to point to it as an excuse or to mitigation or anything. They've kind of just tried to make it into a positive for those who are given the opportunity and go on and play and see what they can do. And full credit to them, really. And I reckon that probably comes from the manager, to be honest, saying there's that, keeping that mentality.
Yeah, but the whole mentality, you know, Pep Linders was talking about it, opening doors, and like you just said earlier, Conor Bradley is someone that's massively benefited, and he won't be the only one in the squad that will probably be looking at it going, well, they have faith, you know, and they'll play.
So, even then, though, more experienced player, but...
Yeah, he's done very well. So 7 games in 21 days now with the Europa League. Liverpool drew Sparta Prague earlier. They'll play.
Not already.
Yeah, they'll play that inside the Man City game.
Prague.
I have actually.
It's really nice, isn't it? Yeah, really like Prague.
Well, I found Prague a bit boring.
Really?
Yeah. It's very picturesque, very beautiful.
So you think
one of my friends lives in Prague? I just didn't feel like I had a lot to do. So if you're listening, you're from Prague, next time, well, I'm not going for this next
put on more events.
Well, no,
for you,
no, basically. Just tell me what to do. I'm very interested.
I mean, yeah. I mean, about a few years ago. I enjoyed Prague as a city when I went 6 years ago, was it?
As learned as you, as cultural as you.
You like a beer, don't you? I thought you might have enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, very much. I mean, we can go through European cities I like, but I just...
Go on, name one. Love Prague. Before we go any further.
I love Budapest.
I've been to Budapest, all right. Yeah.
Probably my favourite European city. Name yours in the chat, if that's where we're going. But,
Berlin's my favourite.
Wish you were here. Berlin's very good, yes.
Berlin's very good.
So 7 games in 21 days. Doyley...
Can we not just talk geography instead of the football?
Yeah, this feels like... I don't know. I mean, maybe we could say this. We said this over Christmas, but this to me in this next 21 days feels like the ultimate make or break of Liverpool's season.
Which is just as well. They haven't got all the players injured. Oh wait, they have. No, so they've all got injured at the wrong time, basically.
No.
I think it would always be the make or break because they're playing Everton away. They're playing Man City at home. They're playing a League Cup final. They're playing an FA Cup fifth round game, and they're back in Europe. They haven't had Europe for two months, so they've been able to get through without that. And these were the games where they were playing the likes of, you know, the players who are now playing now. So who's going to rotate out for those games? There's not much unless they get some players back, which seems unlikely. Certainly Alisson won't be back, Trent won't be back, Jota won't be back, Szoboszlai maybe, Thiago won't be back, Jones won't be back, Pesetic won't be back, Doak won't be back, Matip won't be back. Is that all of them? I think it is, yeah. So I've cheered you all up there. But, yeah, it is make or break. We always would have been, but the Liverpool in a... What I would say, and I know we're going to get onto this eventually about the final itself, because there is a final happening on Sunday, is Liverpool beating Luton in the second half 4-0 with a team that's at about 7th first team is at home was great. But to then do exactly the same thing against Chelsea in a League Cup final at Wembley in an afternoon, it's going to be a lot more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I sort of think any confidence that they took from that second half, which was very good, by the way, anybody who was there, the first half... I think you probably agree, I wasn't very happy with parts of the crowd. So they were grumbling a bit. You know, Jurgen Klopp, he turned around and had a go at somebody in the main stand. But the second half was just one of the best atmospheres there's been at Anfield in absolutely years. So I do think that you can hide behind that a little bit. I just think Sunday's going to be really, really difficult. And going back to what Ghosty said before, if one of Nunes or Salah or both are back, it makes an absolutely massive difference.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Liverpool, the Wembley pitch... I weirdly have this thing about Wembley because the pitch is so wide and Liverpool are used to playing an Anfield pitch, which is pretty narrow. Their style of play suits a compact, narrow game. I think Wembley opens it up and quite often we've seen it favours some of their opponents, you know, like Chelsea. I think it doesn't level the playing field, literally, but it helps, I think, other sides more than it helps Liverpool. So I think it's a real test. By the way, we're getting quite a few people coming through with their favourite European cities. Oh, well, Paul went to Budapest in 07. Can confirm, great city and cheap as chips. Anthony Green loved both Budapest and Prague. Fair play. Barcelona is epic. Number one priority for Europe destination. For next Europe destination, Liverpool.
Barcelona's so, nice, yeah. Barcelona's
I've not been to Barcelona, have
I? You've never been to Barcelona? They might have finished the church by the time you get there.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Right, I want to have a little chat about someone, Banksy 97. Is that Marcus?
He will be, yeah. He will be.
Hello. It says St. Helens.
It's not a city. It's not a city. It's a town.
Well, there we go. Right. So I want to have a quick chat about Luton, just because it feels like a really good game to talk about. We've not spoken about it on the pod yet. 12 minutes in, Luton score. I would argue that was pretty much in the script. Liverpool, for a myriad of reasons, they will do very well to get a win now. Long way to go, though. I mean, those last five words...
Doing a lot of heavy.
I thought that was quite a prescient view. Say there's a long way to go.
Yeah, but that is doily for the umpteenth time this season, not the 22nd, but the umpteenth time this season, writing Liverpool off.
Hang on a minute, 12 I'm not writing them off. Home.
Come on, come on. We know what you're doing. So I was never that worried, and they came through, didn't they? And they were fantastic in the second half, and it. You know, when you're watching Man City and you watch a game and you think, oh, come on, you know, Brentford holding them to a draw here and they get that goal. Liverpool's rivals, Arsenal and City, must be watching Liverpool's games now, mustn't they, Gorsy, thinking, there's a chance here, there's a chance. And then Liverpool do that. And it just helps bring that belief together in the Liverpool squad that perhaps they can do this.
Yeah, I mean, it was another game where Liverpool didn't play particularly well in the first half and played very well in the second. I think you can go through, you know, every result this season and there wouldn't be too many games where you couldn't say that about the fixture list almost. I was slightly concerned, if I'm honest, after the opening goal, because it just didn't really feel like much was coming off for Liverpool. Luis Diaz was given maximum efforts, but not a lot was coming off for him. Cody Gakpo was a bit anonymous.
He scored a goal twice, though. It created two huge opportunities. It wasn't like the United game where I felt like the opportunities weren't coming.
Yeah, but I just kind of, maybe I fell into the trap of looking at the injury list and who was on the bench and or rather who wasn't on the bench and started to feel like it might not be Liverpool's day. But I think within the first five minutes of the second half, you could sense it was coming, wasn't it? And then Diaz has that chance where it's blocked by Mengi, I think, and then they have the shot where they're crying for the handball, and then I think when a couple of minutes later, Liverpool equalise, and as soon as he got the equaliser, you never really felt it was going to be anything other than a Liverpool win. But when the second one went in, I didn't even see it, really.
I just looked up and it's like the ball was just flying across.
I thought it was a corner to begin with, and it was a quickly taken throw, wasn't it? Hooked in by McAllister, and then Gakpo was on the end of it. And then the place just went bananas, didn't it? It was one of those weird, you know, great atmospheres that you wouldn't really have associated with playing a team in the relegation zone before kickoff. Klopp loved it, didn't he? Klopp was talking about it. Was it after the game, saying how he compared it to Barcelona almost? And it was just one of those memorable nights in the season, and one of those where you think if Liverpool do win the league, you look back and think that was actually huge. Job done. Well done to the fit players, really, who kind of made light of the injury situation in the end. And of course, the likes of McConnell and Dan's coming on and showing that it's not just about the senior players, is it? You know, so much of the season has been down to little cameos here or there from the academy players as well. And Jaden Dan's, the little flick and pass for the fourth goal was brilliant.
Very bright. Jaden Dan's, do you want to have a quick word on Jaden Dan's? You've seen a lot of under-21
football. Yeah, I've seen him, yeah.
So excited about him?
Well, yes, actually. Funnily enough, he's one where when he first came through, he was only 16, and you thought, well, he's a bit of a big lad. But he didn't seem to... Having spoken to Mark Bridge-Wilkinson, the under-18s boss, since then, he didn't seem to know how to cope with his body. Yeah. I think I may have said this on a podcast before. He wasn't quite... Because he obviously had quite a big growth. But in fact, he had something... I can't remember the name of it. It was a condition, wasn't it? Where he'd grown...
Yeah, it was in the SPS. Yesterday. I can't recall the actual name of it. But it was it's a growth.
It's a growth, fast. And so he had to... It's like, basically, his body grew up too fast for his...
I'm still waiting for that condition.
Of course he's not.
He really isn't.
So he had to get used to that. And this season, you only have to look, almost every single time he plays, he either scores or sets one up. And whether that's under-18 level, under-21 level, and he, as I say, he's played, probably 9 minutes for the first team now, and he was involved in the fourth goal, and he did very, very well. And in his favour is now that he's gone through that growth thing. He's a big lad. Obviously, he's got a good upbringing because his dad played.
Yeah,
He's been at the academy group. He's quite clearly got his head screwed on, which can't always be said for every single young footballer at any club who's come through. And I just think that, well, the manager likes him as well. And again, this is one where if he gets more chances, like he'd probably be on the bench at least against Southampton in the FA Cup, I'd have thought, next Wednesday. The more chances he gets, the more exposure, the more likely he is to then impress the new manager coming in, because there's something that's going to be on the minds of all of these youngsters. We haven't even mentioned properly Gerald Quanta, who came into the side on Wednesday and no one batted an eyelid. Like, don't I don't know, you don't. Then, and bear in mind that he hadn't even played a senior game at Premier League level or top class level at the start of August. So, you know, he's come through. Conor Bradley's another one. He only made his Premier League debut last month. And he's another one who you play without even thinking. Harvey Elliott, we've mentioned so many times. Even Bobby Clark, when he came on, I thought did really well for that 15, 20 minutes. And Klopp absolutely loves him. So these players are being given a chance. And they, as Gorsi said, they are the bonus because they've been able to help out the senior players, giving them minutes, you know, giving them a rest and this, that and the other. But as I said before, we've now reached the point where they almost are all going to have to start playing. I haven't mentioned Kay Gordon either.
And full credit to Vita Matos as well, because I think Klopp said quite recently that he just doesn't have the time to watch every single 18s and 21s games, and that's fair enough, isn't it? So he needs someone to be his eyes at that level, and Matos has been, you know, without him, you wouldn't be getting James McConnell starting in the FA Cup and creating assists for Curtis Jones. And
it's a great point, because it's fascinating to see whether FSG replace that role.
Yeah,
they will do, won't they? Because Pep Linders did it before him, so I think they understand how important it is.
And we've got 100-odd people watching now, so if you are watching, you want to ask a question, and you want me to put it to Gorsi or Doyley.
Any more cities been mentioned?
No more cities. We were talking about favourite European cities randomly. But if you want to throw that in there, St Helens is a city,
it's a town.
Favourite towns of Europe?
Favourite towns of Europe? Throw them in there.
It's not even favourite town in Europe beginning with S and got a second word beginning with H in England, in the northwest, in Merseyside.
It's not yours.
Where I live, I can say that though.
Okay.
You can't. You're from Runcorn anyway, so.
Do you know who my favourite Liverpool player of all time, Emil Heskey, notwithstanding, is now?
Let me have a guess. Go on, let's have a guess.
What's Haro Endo?
It's the right answer, Gorsi. Well done. I love him. I just think he's a cracking player. 16 million. He's just really clever. I love the way he passed the ball. He's great in the air. Really good in the air, which is massive. And I think my worry for him was coming back into the team, whether he'd manage to maintain it, because it took him a while to get up to the levels, and whether he could come back and show them again, I thought was going to be really, really interesting. And he has done that. It's crucial for Liverpool, and he'll be massive on Sunday.
He will. He's been great, hasn't he? Probably since maybe early December time, he started to really show what he can do. I think maybe since he came off the bench against Fulham and he scored that goal, and he's kind of played a lot, hasn't he? Because McAllister got injured, and he's really shown what he can do. It's funny, we had the chance to speak to him after the game on Wednesday, and he's just so unassuming and polite and nice, and almost got an air of, you know, he's just happy to be there. But when he goes on the pitch, you know, he really gives Liverpool exactly what they need in that number six role. Snapping into challenges, closing spaces, closing gaps, winning headers, like you say, winning the ball back. Just a real warrior, and he's been brilliant. I think there were some eyebrows raised. I think we've said this a few times, and I was certainly one of them when Liverpool kind of pivoted and went to him. But for the price of him, the mileage is kind of on the clock. He was 31 a couple of weeks back, but not everyone has to be signed at 24, 22, 23. And he's playing a vital role, and he will for the rest of the season now. You'd argue we're still waiting on to Bosley to be fit. We don't know how long Jones is going to be out for, so Endo's got the shirt at the moment, and it's been brilliant.
We've got one Chelsea fan in the chat singing their only song, which isn't that Chelsea.
No, there's another one. God.
There's that other.
Oh, I know.
The famous Chelsea FC.
Oh, and what about the 10 when...
They've got two songs up there.
Oh, just on Endo, I got sent this tweet it's been posted by somebody called Huge Hog, which I'm hoping is not a euphemism for something that we've now, you know, ruined the podcast. But he said about Endo, every time we play, I forget that Endo exists. And then I check his full-time stats, and he's got 18 successful tackles, 104% pass accuracy, and he's put the recycling bins out.
he recycles possession for Liverpool so often, though, doesn't he? I mean, like, to play Liverpool's way, you have to be pinning them high up the pitch, and that was great against Luton. It was the same against Newcastle the other month before he departed for the Asia Cup. He won it back so many times.
Same with Brentford, actually, to be fair. One of the goals came from him doing that.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is that that has to work with the rest of the team, which is why he struggled at the beginning, because if he goes and legs it out and the rest of the team don't, he just like looks as though he's massively out of position, then they're getting around the back of him. So that is an example of how they all have to work together, and it's taken him a while to get used to the team and to them to get used to him.
There was one against Burnley as well, wasn't it, where he wins it. You know, there's a bit of nerves as the game's getting towards the last few minutes and Liverpool haven't scored that second. And then he wins the ball on the halfway line and goes for a second and seal the win.
Yeah, brilliant. Joe Riley's asked, does anyone like Dublin? Love
it. Dublin. They really consider it as a European city because it's
more of an extension of
Liverpool East.
Joe, we all hope to be there in May. Great place. Got some good friends.
What's the English for Dublin? You should know this. Dublin is obviously Gaelic, a word.
Yeah.
So what's the English translation?
I don't know.
Blackpool.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's 100% true. There you go.
You learn something new every day. Yeah, got
some good. Could be there,
couldn't it? Yeah. Would you rather go to Blackpool or Dublin?
Dublin.
Don't answer that one. Blackpool's better than it was.
Right, okay. this pod keeps going in unexpected directions. So Endo, favourite player ever that we got there. World's great. We've got to get onto the World's Greatest Cup competition, Carabao. What's your favourite Carabao Cup moment of all time, Gorsty? Throwing that one at you.
Fowler's goal. No, do you know what? The League Cup is actually the first trophy that I remember Liverpool winning. Steve McManaman's, final, as they call it. And I actually watched, I had LFC TV on the other day for Jürgen's presser, and there was a show on after it where McManaman and McAtee are just talking through that game. So I thought, watch this, because I'm seeing it since I was a kid, really. But yeah, it was that one, the Coca-Cola Cup final, McManaman running riot. Alan Thompson scored a cracker of a goal, didn't he? But that one, I'll go with that. 1995, was it?
Yeah. What's my favourite League Cup memory? Because I'm not calling it the Carabao Cup.
I'm calling it the Carabao.
We haven't been given any Carabao.
If they want to bring us some Carabao.
There's no Carabaos have come in.
I'll dress head to toe in Carabao.
What is a Carabao? What is a Carabao?
Only Carabao.
What's a Carabao?
No, it's an energy drink.
Yeah, but isn't it something, though?
Well, it's like a ball on
it. Yeah, is it a thingy-majig, though? Is it a Watsomy Bob, or is it just a name?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
It's a bull, isn't it? Some sort of bull.
It's an actual thing, you know. Like,
they're Thailand based, are they? Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Bangkok, have you been there?
Yeah, been there. Yeah.
Busy, isn't it?
Yeah, very busy.
It's very difficult to get around.
But that's not in Europe, and we open another.
You have to limit it to Europe.
Yeah. Right.
What was the question?
The question was,
what's your favourite League Cup moment? Don't know. So obviously, I'm a lot older than you lot. So when I was growing up, Liverpool were just winning it every year. But United and Everton and West Ham. I don't remember them one. West Ham and Tottenham. Remember the other two? United. Ronnie Whelan's curler. That was good.
Yeah.
That was a nice one. I mean, Fowler's goal, obviously. 2001, wasn't it? Yeah. Antonio Nunes scored when they got beat by Chelsea. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so this is...
Reese's volley was a great moment, obviously.
That was probably 35 seconds. Wasn't it? Really early on.
Owen on the break.
Oh, that was good. Against United. That was good.
Rick Keane's end his career,
Yeah, that was one of my favourite games of all time, that Buffon at Millennium Stadium. Great stadium, by the way, that one.
I mean, it hasn't happened too often, has it? Liverpool United in a cup final in our lifetime.
We've just given two there. Well, with mine, anyway. Yeah. Well, three, I think.
So I qualify there.
All right.
They were 90, very good.
But 96, that was a cup final.
That's true.
Yeah.
They were very good at the time, United, in that year, 2003, and Liverpool were very bad, and we were in a really bad
match. Who was Liverpool's man of the match? Yes. Well,
unbelievable.
Yeah. And Dudek played very well as well, didn't he?
He did.
A few weeks after that horror show.
That was against United, wasn't it?
It was against United.
Yeah. Flat one.
So that was great.
Great. That was just 21 years ago. Can we a little bit more relevant?
Yeah. Come on, that's the 4-4 against Arsenal of the year. Great game.
5-0, wasn't it?
5-0.
I was going to say 4.
Taking goals off it.
So Origi's over there.
Yeah.
You went the 5-0 against Aston Villa, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
That was left good.
Yeah, Anthony, that does come at the end. We will predict lineups for Sunday. But yeah, so, I mean...
Are you talking to your screen there?
No, I'm just talking to all my friends in the chat, more friends than Steve.
Get Kessie up, see if there's any pictures while we've been recording.
Pictures of what? Oh, training pictures?
I'll look.
Well, okay, yeah, you look, Andrew.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, Carabao moments. How'd you work Chelsea up Sunday? Because I think Chelsea, this weird side.
Yeah.
I almost think the 4-1 the other day just doesn't count for anything, because they are such a strange team that probably personnel will change, certainly will change. you know, people are talking about their revival, but they were talking about the revival before the Anfield game. Yeah. And since then, they lost at home to Wolves. And they've, what, beaten Crystal Palace and Aston Villa and drawn with Man City. The Man City result was very good, but I just don't know. I think it's very difficult to work out what sort of Chelsea side and how to set up against them is going to be a real challenge for them.
It is, yeah. I mean, you can say you don't know what Chelsea you're going to get, but I think more often than not, they've proven that you know this is a team that isn't anywhere near it. You know, they've had the occasional good results, but I think certain parts of the media maybe are desperate to paint that picture of them turning the corner finally and this big incredible outlay is starting to bear fruit, because it hasn't looked like that to me. And you know, I was saying yesterday that I couldn't tell you Chelsea's best team because I don't think Pochettino knows it, in all honesty. There's just so much money has just been thrown at that project in an incredible amount of time, and not a lot of it has worked out. You know, Cole Palmer looks really good.
Yeah.
And Nkunku's been injured, obviously, but he looks like he could be decent. But other than that, you know, Fernandes and Caicedo is the most expensive central midfield pair ever. Is not working at the moment. Just couldn't hazard a guess as to what the team's going to be, never mind, yeah, you know, what the form's going to be. I thought they were really good against Chelsea City, but that was playing to a very specific game plan of getting behind the ball and countering them and working with the pace of Sterling and Nicholas Jackson and Gusto on the right flank. But
didn't that probably be their game plan Sunday?
It could very well be. I mean, the reason why I think it's going to be a difficult game is not necessarily because it's Chelsea or anything to do with them, really. It's just Liverpool have a habit of being embroiled in real fights in cup finals, no matter who they're playing, whether it be Championship opposition, you know, similar level Premier League opposition. So it's going to be tough either way. But if Chelsea have one of those kind of, you know, call it off day, but kind of mean, reverting to the mean of what they've been this season, I think Liverpool will just about have enough.
Yeah. Dolly, any updates from training?
Yes, there are no updates from training.
No updates.
Adrian's there, though.
Adrian's great.
He'll be on the bench, won't he? He'll be on the bench. Yeah, you mentioned Salah was there, but he was wearing a different top to almost all the rest of them, so I don't know whether that means he's been quite involved as much as the others. We're just guessing it.
Are they just pictures of them arriving?
I don't know, actually. I think it is, actually. They're walking up
not
the stairs.
Not on the grass, yeah.
So they'll be up this afternoon, then, won't they?
Yes, they'll probably be trading now, won't they? Yeah.
Yeah, we will keep a close eye on it and bring you updates on whoever trains this afternoon. Of course, they'll have two sessions, won't they? And getting through both of those sessions today and tomorrow will be key to...
Yeah, well, you'd normally think that would be good for them to get some, some time, but you'd think, well, hang on. Like about four more players could just pick up an injury here. So
I mean, Klopp has a general rule, does he, where you need to be involved in two training sessions with the team before you're considered for selection, but he might have to relax that rule given the injury crisis and the fact that it's a final.
Yeah.
They're not going to be playing Wednesday, are they, any of the ones who are precautions at the moment?
And also, Salah and Nunes only played last week, so it's not as if they're going to be massively unfit, lost all that fitness at that time. Different with Szoboszlai, though. I'd be amazed if he's involved.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. How many weeks has he been out?
Three. Just over three now, yeah. At Chelsea, wasn't he? When he got injured, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even think they'll risk him.
I think, just talking on Chelsea, I think that your worry is, well, no matter who plays Chelsea, is there's going to be a game where they get it right, because they've got that many good players, well, players that should be good, and players who've got potential to be good, that there will be a game where it all clicks, then they're suddenly away they go. And I think they've actually found a little bit of form, not just the City game. They won at Palace, didn't they? I think there was another game which I can't quite remember. Oh, they won at Villa in the FA Cup, so...
But even Villa played quite well.
Yeah, but Villa have also slightly gone over the hill a little bit. You know, they're going down the other side now, I think. Certainly at home, they had that long run, didn't they? They won almost every game at home. Yeah. But yeah, with Chelsea, that is the one concern. I mean, Pochettino's a good manager, as far as I'm concerned. I really like him, actually. Pochettino.
I'm not sold on Pochettino.
I like him. And I think he's got the right idea about to play the game. And I do think that they will have a game plan. And you only have to look at the way Tottenham did against Liverpool. Okay, I know that Liverpool won almost always. If anyone was going to win, it was Liverpool, such as the Champions League final. But the games were always really close, and Tottenham normally they did get a nice win at Wembley. Don't forget that one, 4-1. And
that's before Liverpool really clicked, though, wasn't it? Well, and I think that was pre Van Dijk.
Okay, maybe. But then that season there was 2-2. There was the 1-1 game. Oh, actually, he wasn't even there then, was he? So what we're talking about. But the point being is that you got Tottenham to a Champions League final.
Yeah,
come on.
No, but that was a long time ago. And I would argue he went to Paris. I don't think he's picked the right projects.
No,
I don't think PSG was right. I don't think Chelsea's right. I think he is more of a Liverpool manager than he is a Chelsea or a PSG manager. But I don't necessarily think.
But going back to the point is that if he can get a team and he can sort a team out that's going to cause Liverpool where he thinks are going to cause Liverpool's problems, and it will help if the Liverpool are missing quite a lot of their first choice players.
Mm. Yeah, would you take him as Liverpool manager?
Well, do you know what? I was actually thinking this a couple of weeks back. We were in on the day he announced it, wasn't it? Yeah. I think if he wasn't having such a torrid time at Chelsea, where that could happen to any manager and any player. I think if he was kind of unattached, he'd be in the conversation, wouldn't he? Given what he did with Tottenham, and people always say, "Oh, he didn't win anything," but it's not really indicative of
a manager's
ability. It's more, it's like, for example, now if Leverkusen don't win the Bundesliga, if they lose out to Bayern Munich by a point, that doesn't disprove Alonso's ability as a manager, does it? The fact that he's got them there in the first place tells you that he's a decent manager, and then everything else is maybe up to the variables.
I take that. The social media age of football is very black and white. I remember after Klopp's first season, and people were like, oh, he's failed, he fails in finals. And I think if you consistently take teams to finals, they're very showpiece occasions. Like you said, Liverpool can get embroiled in these little battles that don't really show their true form. Mm. But if you consistently get teams close to the top of the league or to finals, you will eventually win trophies. And Pochettino, to be fair, has done that with teams. But I don't know. Yeah, I think Tottenham was a long time ago now, and I'm not fully convinced that the spark he once had is still alive, in terms of, I think with managers, and we were talking before about Pep Linders and whether good coaches make good managers. And I think the final and biggest thing for a manager is having that aura and having that spark and being able to walk into a place and spark that belief between players, fans, your management, everyone. Klopp has that in spades, doesn't he? Mourinho had that in spades when he was younger. I think Pochettino did, but I'm not too sure he still does now. And I think Alonso at the moment has. Tuchel's another one that I think, Tuchel, you look at his record, and he's won things pretty much where he's been. But would you touch Tuchel? Wow, go near him.
He's very tactically sound, isn't he? Yeah. He obviously won the Champions League with Chelsea. I sounds easy for me to say, but I just like to discredit that entire season. It was a nonsense. Full season, full season behind closed doors. Never happen again in our lifetime.
Apart from Alisson's header. Just forget it.
But he's obviously very technically sound as a manager, and is one of the amazing young coaches, the kind of hard-pressing, hard-running style that Klopp almost pioneered, you could argue. But I couldn't imagine Thomas Tuchel sitting there in front of us every week, and I just don't think he's got the magnetism or the charisma or the aura, like you say. And that is it's kind of je ne sais quoi type of thing, isn't it? Not everyone.
Hello.
Well, like,
you should have that one there.
But not every manager has that. I mean, a lot of managers will be technically, they've all got the coaching badges and all that type of stuff. But Klopp has got that, Guardiola to an extent.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I think he's more, brilliant through his tactics and that type of stuff. But it's certainly a thing that a Liverpool manager has to have.
No one's mentioned Paris, have they?
What is it? Yeah. European city? Just a callback to earlier in the pod. Yeah, I really like Paris. Great city, Not a huge London fan, but there you go.
I don't mind London. To be fair, I just tend to live there this year, don't I? Going again.
Should we pick some teams and make some predictions?
Have we got anything else? Can we just talk a bit more about injuries? People like listening to injuries.
What do you want to talk about injuries?
Alisson. I think Alisson's an interesting one in the sense that we don't know what's going on.
They keep him very quiet.
Yeah, which makes me think, when have they ever kept quiet an injury that's good? So no one's ever done that.
Well, the first thing with the Alisson one was Klopp was very ambiguous, wasn't he, after the Burnley game?
Yes.
Kind of led us to believe that it was illness related, but then Alisson misses the next game, and I think you did the story, didn't you, on the Friday before Brentford?
I mean, to be fair, it was illness related, the first one, wasn't it? He did have the flu because he was pictured in training, wasn't he? I can't remember what day it was. Tuesday, wasn't it? Yeah, he was back in training on the Tuesday. So he was training.
The Brazil manager said that he doesn't expect him to be a part of the March international breaks, which could be Liverpool asking for a favour, really, couldn't it?
Well, to be fair, the thing is, Linda said, didn't he, they're not expecting him back to after the international break, which is March the 31st at the earliest. So that's 6 weeks, then he's already missed a week, so that's be seven.
Yeah.
And so now you've got Kelleher, who's played 15 games already this season. He's going to be on course for 2025. And if Alisson, if anything's bad's happened to him, because if you know we're led to believe it's a hamstring issue, if it's anything nasty, then you know he's back in April. Well, in April, there's only May left, and that's it. Season's over, so there's a chance Keller could end up playing some like 30-odd games this season.
Do you remember in the summer, I think, or just before the end of last season, Klopp was asked about Keller's future, and he was like stunned.
He scoffed, yeah.
Yeah, anyone would ask that. And at the time, I think there was, you know, we all felt like Keller was coming towards the end of his time at Liverpool and needed to go away and play. He's a very level-headed guy, isn't he, Keller? Doesn't look like anything fazed him. And I think all of that worked well because he didn't seem to want to jump away and move away from Liverpool. And look, I mean, they've certainly needed them, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we have this assumption, don't we, that every footballer wants to play 50 games a season. And maybe as a goalkeeper, it's a little bit different in terms of, you know, would you rather be a number two to Alisson and know you're going to play in the League Cup and maybe go and win the League Cup? Yeah. You know, he could have two League Cup winners' medals by Sunday night, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Or would you rather move further down the league and play every week, but you win some, you lose more, and you're not really sure what the expectations are? I suppose it's a preference, isn't it? I mean, a lot of players would pick the latter and play more, but Keller seems relaxed and just happy to be the understudy to, you know, someone who they consider to be the world's best.
Yeah, how old is he now, Keller?
25, he's 26 this year. November, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah. Was it Winston Bogard who played for Chelsea? Mm. He was quite happy to not play, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Kelleher, he's gonna be very, very important in the sense of if Liverpool do end up achieving something this season, he's going to end up being quite key to it, which I don't think anybody thought they'd be saying that at the start of the season.
Absolutely. Will you pick him in your team then for Sunday? Can we pick our teams then?
We can talk more about. No, I'm done with injuries.
One person said, actually, Paul, I want to bring this up. We talked very quickly about managers, and he said, I often hear people say, is Xabi ready for the Liverpool job? But Pep only won the third division with Barcelona B before taking the Barcelona job, and people forget that. And I think that's a good point. I still think Alonso's got more experience than perhaps people are giving him credit for. He's done Sociedad B.
Yeah.
And if he wins the Bundesliga, I mean, that's a massive, massive achievement. People shouldn't underestimate.
Well,
I have won it 11 seasons.
The last managers to deny Bayern Munich was Jürgen Klopp. Mm. And don't forget what he did. At Sociedad was the first time they got promoted to the second tier of Spanish football for 50 years. So he's clearly got ability and talent as a manager. It's I mean, whoever they appoint is always going to be a kind of second rate, if that's probably too harsh a phrase, because Liverpool fans don't want Jürgen Klopp to leave. But he seems to be the outstanding candidate at the moment, doesn't he? And he will arrive with that groundswell of instant support that a new man definitely needs if they're replacing Jürgen Klopp. There's so many kind of similarities to the Alex Ferguson thing when he left. And Moyes, you know, they tried to give Moyes that, didn't he, with Ferguson saying on the pitch. Klopp won't do anything like that. But, you know, Alonso was a Champions League winning midfielder, is going to come in with more support than, say, Ruben Amorim at Sporting, who, I suppose, fewer people know what he's about.
Don't forget, everyone knew Klopp going in. You know, when Liverpool got Klopp, everyone knew him, everyone wanted him. He had a groundswell of support, so he was already going to get time, and he did get time that first year. You know, they finished eighth, didn't they, in the league that year, and I know he didn't take the whole of it, but I don't necessarily think a Ruben Amorim or others would get that sort of time if Liverpool did experience a bit of a drop-off next season.
Yeah, and there's going to be a transition, isn't there? I think, you know, fans need to accept that. If they do win the Premier League, they're not going to be looking at it as favourites in the summer, just because of the upheaval and the transition on the coaching staff as well, with the sporting director situation and whatever else. So, yeah, it's a massive period of uncertainty, but on the pitch, everything's going absolutely great guns, isn't it? So, see what happens.
Zidane didn't have much of a managerial career until he took over Real Madrid. That worked out quite well for him.
Mm. It did. But you take Zidane.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Chart talking in the newsroom about Zidane the other day, and I wouldn't touch him because I just feel like he suits Real Madrid and Real Madrid suits him. And that I don't even necessarily think he'd go on and be a good manager elsewhere.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've got no idea what his style is or anything like that, other than he's the Real Madrid manager, so he has to win the Champions League. Which he does.
He knows how to cope with it. He's had the experience of playing at the big clubs at the highest level, which is what Alonso's had, which is the advantage he'll have over whoever, whether he goes to Bayern Munich, whether he goes to Liverpool, whether he stays put.
Yeah. I'd quite like to sit in front of Zinedine Zidane every Friday, though.
What's his English like? That's a genuine question. That'll be consideration. You'd be all right, wouldn't
you? No, it wouldn't be. It might help me, though. We should get a move on. Favourite player of all time, by the way, away from Liverpool, Zidane.
But Heskey.
Loved him. Heskey, obviously. I said away from Liverpool.
But I was never convinced by him for years until it was... Until it was like, there's certain players who you look at and go, I don't get it. And then you watch one particular game, suddenly it's like, oh my God, I've now seen what everybody else sees.
What
game is it? Funny enough, it was when they played in the World Cup France in 2002.
So you weren't convinced?
Even 98, I wasn't convinced, right? No. And then it was like everybody else was rubbish for France. It was like, they got knocked out, didn't they, really early on? And he played one game and he had his leg strapped up and he was like by about a million miles the best player on the pitch. And it was like, this is ridiculous.
So how did I not think? The World Cup of 98, the European Championships for 2000, the Champions League final in 2002, and he scores that goal.
That was the start of being won over there. But it was that game. I can't believe how good he is compared to everybody else here. It's ridiculous. He's only playing with one leg.
I don't know whether you ever saw, and it was before sort of all the types of highlights that we see now are a thing, but do you ever remember that they brought that DVD out where they just filmed Zidane?
Yes, I've seen
that.
Incredible.
He gets sent off as well, doesn't he?
It was incredible.
I want Zidane to be the manager,
you know, even if it was just for a week, you know, Legends game.
Imagine it turns up and you'll just point at me and go, he reckons you're rubbish.
You went in, haven't you?
Paul says, I could have sworn Gorsi said another episode of this pod. His favourite player was Ronaldinho. Were you?
I never said he was my favourite player. That was you. Ronaldinho is my favourite player.
Similar reasons, though, I think. The style.
Yes, yeah. Ronaldinho was just pure joy, wasn't he? You know, Zidane was a bit more balletic, maybe, and a bit more artist, but Ronaldinho was
and a bit more violent as well.
Yeah, I love Ronaldinho.
One more question throughout you before we do pick our teams. Are we any closer to Anthony Green? Are we any closer to having a clue who'd be the new director of football? And do you think that will be announced before manager?
I think maybe we'll see some movement or some news or updates in maybe the spring, I think before the end of the season. Who that's going to be, I couldn't really hazard a guess. It's not something where you can speculate in terms of we know who good managers are. You know, it's a bit more difficult to judge that in terms of a sporting director role. Seen a couple of names mentioned this week from Simon Hughes in The Athletic, but at the moment, I think it's very much full focus from the people we're speaking to anyway in terms of got all this going on. We can't really reflect too much elsewhere.
I don't think it's a situation like United where there'll be a public courting of someone in a big
Liverpool have never done that. FSG haven't really done that,
especially for a person of this position. I think that's United almost getting caught up in the flavour of the month and going straight for it. And I don't think FSG have ever.
Look at who Liverpool appointed last time out. You know, no one had heard of Jörg Schmacker, I do with respect to him. So you can't second guess that.
And funny enough, a lot of people had opinions, but he didn't do a bad job last summer, did he?
No, I mean, he stuck to what he knew, and to the Bundesliga, didn't he? I think Gravenberg had been earmarked as someone who he liked prior to his arrival, but certainly got to Bosley over the line, didn't he? And Endo lent on his contacts at Stuttgart, no doubt.
And what it suggests to me, though, at Liverpool is that there is still an existing structure that, okay, the director of football isn't in place, but around them, Will Smith and his team is still very strong.
There'll be people who we don't know behind the scenes who are incredibly good at what they do. You know, it's Liverpool Football Club at the end of the day, isn't it? You know, they've got the best people for every role. So, it's a lot of intrigue, really, but nothing new on the sporting director front as far as we are aware, I think.
Lisbon's good as well.
I've not been to Lisbon.
Have you not? Really good. Genuinely, Lisbon is really good.
Next on my list.
I'd definitely go to Lisbon if you got the chance. Lisbon, Berlin.
Madrid.
Don't mind Madrid, but it's not as quiet as this. It's bang in the middle as well, isn't it? It's a bit busier. Lisbon's nice.
Riga was nice. Went to Riga some years ago.
Latvia.
Went to Kaunas in Lithuania. Yeah. That was actually surprisingly good.
Bratislava. Enjoyed Bratislava. Nice castle nearby.
Kelleher. Yeah.
Is that a place?
No, he's going in.
Right.
Before we go, we're not effing kidding you. Alison is out for weeks. maybe months. Kelleher in goal.
Yes, Kelleher. Yes.
Kelleher in goal. Doyle, you back four. Go on, you go first.
Conor Bradley.
Yeah.
Ibrahima Konate.
Yeah.
Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I feel really bad because I want to get Joe Gomez in the team, but I'm not putting him in the team.
Yeah.
Andrew Robertson at left back. I'm really sorry, Joe. I know he listens to the podcast all the time, but hopefully he'll get on. Not that anyone's injured, but that he's able to make the difference in the team when he comes on.
Yeah,
I can't disagree with it. There was a period in the second half and Gomez brought down this high ball in the under pressure at right back, and I said to you, yeah, I think he's been the best player of the season, really, Gomez. And then picking me 11 for the cup final and you're not in it. But same back four as Doyle's.
Yep, same here again. Our public apologies to Joe Gomez, who
lovely is lad,
brilliant this season, and probably deserves better. But sorry, you're on the bench. You can start with your midfield.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many options. Just it's obviously Endo, McAllister, and the big one for me is Elliot or Gravenberg. You could make the case for Elliot, but that would mean perhaps moving McAllister out to the left. So I'm going to go with Gravenberg. Stick with him, and Elliot can be the impact sub if needed.
Yeah, again, feels slightly harsh on Elliot, especially after the other night, but then I think he gives you an option off the bench, Elliot, as well. What's yours?
Mine is, what are you, Endo? Alexis McAllister and Ryan Granberge as well.
Yeah, that makes three of us.
This is worrying. Anyway, go on. This is where it all goes wrong, though. Go on.
Front three.
Let's work on the basis that they come through it, and then they take play, don't they? Salah, Nunes, and Luis Diaz. If not, you're looking at the same front three from Wednesday night, I think.
Mm-hmm. Elliot, Gakpo, Diaz. Even if Nunes and Salah are available, I'm not playing them. I'm putting them on the bench because remember you in the podcast where I said Salah won't play, he won't start the League Cup final weeks ago, and if it
is the thing.
Yeah, we had another injury since then, so I'm still not playing him.
We do have £5 on this. I would. God, I'm going to lose that bet, aren't I? On a technicality,
putting it back to the memory.
Cancel it, null and void it. I would keep one of them on the bench and play the other one if they're both fit. So I would probably choose to keep Nunes on the bench, probably to come in and release some chaos. But Diaz played very well the other night. Gakpo is starting to find a bit of form. If there was no issues with Nunes' fitness, I would play him from the start, certainly. But I would probably pick Salah out of the two, because I get the feeling as well that even if Salah coming back from injury, he's just the type of guy that even if his legs in a lot of pain, we'll just try and push through.
He's
been quite unlucky.
Was it the FA Cup final? He came off injured.
Very early on.
The Champions League final in 2018. He's missed or not done very well in quite a lot of finals throughout his career. Even though he's got a lot of winners medals, so he's due some luck.
Are you saying don't play him then?
No, I would play Salah. I've literally just said that.
I think Nunes will terrorise Chelsea with them open spaces.
Yeah.
I think if he's fit, get him in the team. And then they can rest up on Wednesday in Southampton. I think if Liverpool win the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup suddenly becomes a little bit of a afterthought.
Even though the FA Cup is a much bigger competition.
I just maybe cancel the FA Cup this year. Maybe just
right,
United did it one year. Just pull out.
I didn't think they wanted to. I didn't think they wanted to.
That's Simon Weston when he thinks. Caprice.
I forgot about that.
Penny Jones.
I don't necessarily think that our chat room here will remember that one. But
no.
There you go. Right. Give us a prediction.
Penalties. One all draw. Penalties. Win, yeah,
he's saying it again. We're getting back.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah.
I think absolute slog. 2-1 Liverpool in extra time.
Well, funny enough, Liverpool never win these games very convincingly. I'm trying to think the last time they won a final where you thought, oh, that's gone straight forward.
Yeah.
Sunderland, 1992.
Yeah.
That's a very long time ago. What's that, 32 years ago? And before that, when? Newcastle, 1974. It's like, it just never happens. You see, like, United, when they were winning stuff, they beat like Chelsea 4-0, Millwall 3-0, stuff like that. So I can't really see.
Wigan.
Yeah. Yeah, they did it before. That was one as well, wasn't it? Yeah. And even then, they beat Newcastle 2-0 last year, didn't they? But Liverpool, I think it'll be 2-1 to Liverpool in extra time. And having come off the bench, Joe Gomez is going to score the winner.
If that happens, I will give you your £5 back.
You're giving me them anyway, because Salah won't be starting.
I'll give you £10 if that happens.
10?
Yeah.
You're only going to give me £10 if Joe Gomez comes off the bench and scores the winner in extra time.
Why should I give you any money?
You're the one who brought it up.
That's you're with the Salah money, so come on, get
commit
five
to this. Yeah.
There you go. There's your predictions. Drop yours in the chat. Very interested to see them. If someone would like to follow you on social media before Sunday, yes, and see what you tweet about it.
PT Ghost, that's GORST.
You're on Facebook as well, aren't you, Paul?
Same handle, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to go on Twitter, X. Oh, no one calls it that. No. It's Twitter. Yeah. Me just annoying people. That's at Ian Doyle Sports.
And if you want to know whether Liverpool get a corner.
When a corner and when the game starts, yeah, that's then. And also, if you want to watch them do some rondos in the warm-up, that's also good for that. And anything else, it's Ian_Doyle_sport, because when I initially signed up for it, I've forgotten all the passwords.
Okay. And I'm at _StephensKillen. Sorry.
Joe, I haven't done a shout-out to all the other countries in the world.
Well, he was particularly proud of his success in Australia, so I want to steal back his success down under.
What's your favourite city in Australia that isn't Melbourne?
In Australia that isn't Melbourne, yeah. I love Melbourne. I love Darwin. Really like Darwin. Thought it was a really, really cool place. Adelaide was really nice.
Adelaide.
Yeah, lots to do in Sydney. I mean, they're all so different. They're all so different. It's like going to five different European cities. Perth's really cool. So, yeah. Love Australia.
That message brought to you on behalf of the Australian.
Yeah. And Carabao. Carabao.
You want a flight to Australia? Well, just been given loads of Carabao. Yeah.
That'll keep me awake on the flight.
Yeah. Right? Still, no matter what you do, Steve Killen would do it better.
Stop. He's in the chat. We'll be back on Sunday. We've got some. Give us a like, subscribe, press the bell, because on Sunday we'll be doing pre-match shows. Half-time show is planned.
Is it?
I'm going, but you don't need to be on it, guys.
Yeah. A
half-time show is planned with yours truly and Theo Squires, and we're going to do a full-time show as well. So we've got plenty planned for Sunday. Hopefully celebrating a big win for Liverpool. And then we'll be back Monday with our normal episode of the Blood Red Podcast. Thank you so much for your support. The predictions are coming in. 3-1 Liverpool there. So
that's very ambitious.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Who's that from?
That is from Mr. Mensah. So thank you.
He must know what he's talking about.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for listening. And we will see you on Sunday. Ta-ra.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.